We get high in backseats of cars. We break into mobile homes. We go to sleep to shake a pee. Never wake up on our own. And that's the way we get by. So where we get by. All that's the way we get by. So where we get by.
We don't know what episode we're doing when we do the actual interview in this one, but we know right now. That's all you need to know, really.
Well, there's a possibility that we're going to record another one this weekend.
Yeah.
And sort of just in it being Halloween weekend and everything.
We're scrambling, listeners. We're scrambling. But we're doing it for you. We want you to know that.
Ghost Peak must come out.
Every week.
Those of you who choose to listen to it. Have that opportunity to listen to it.
Well, this is how we get by. Really.
We're not going to leave you.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
You know. I see the wheels turn in his head. He's like on one thought, and it just changed gears.
Just like,
he's like, oh, yeah. That was
the song.
The phrase. Yeah. Well, we should talk about the interview and what has transpired since then, because the mood change.
Yeah.
People can probably sense that when you get to the interview, we're going to be very hopeful. We're going to be very excited.
And we mention it, but just to set it out here, it was that was before the end of the World Series.
Before the end. It was still game. It was game six.
It was actually, yeah, it was game six, and the Royals.
The ass kicking the Royals handed out.
Was inspiring.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're like, just, there's a buzz probably when you hear the interview, because we have Josh Gilman.
I think Mike doesn't particularly care about baseball, but you, Josh, and I were all invested in the outcome of it. And so...
Well, we recorded right in front of the TV, the four of us, before their show last Tuesday, which was awesome.
Great show.
And we had the TV
on. Four Horsemen at the Surfside last Tuesday of every...
every month.
Every month you'll hear that again.
A few later. Times. Well, they should hear it.
Yeah.
A few times.
A few times.
So we record in front of the TV... No sound, the four of us, halfway distracted, but just, I'm excited. So, now
it's
the world's...
It's a great, snappy interview, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, but now the World Series is over.
And it didn't exactly go our way, did it, Weston?
It did not.
It was a beautiful World Series. But really, it comes down to one man.
Madison Bumgarner.
With... A somewhat florid name, as far as baseball names go, but it's still a baseball name.
It's a very baseball name, and it's a he's a superhuman baseball player. Like, no one can touch this guy.
He is maybe the current ace of baseball.
I watched every game of the playoffs that the Royals played in. Every single game. And we beat the shit out of every pitcher we saw. We swept the Los Angeles Angels.
Mr. Madison shows up. Can't touch
cannot
him.
Cannot touch this can't guy. Touch him.
There's nothing for it. And the thing, too, that I think is important, and again, like, I was just rooting for the Royals because I enjoyed watching them play baseball, and your family is from Kansas, so it seemed like the most convenient. Yeah, but the Giants were a fun team to watch play absolutely. As well.
Especially after we saw... Because going into it, we were like, oh, the Giants are pretty cool. We like them, too. So if they win, cool. But we didn't know that one of the greatest pitching displays in history of the game was going to be put on us.
To pitch a 100-plus shutout, it was something like 117 was his shutout, have one day's rest, come in as a relief pitcher, but then still pitch about a game's worth. Like he pitched just about as much as if he'd started as like a starting pitcher who they pull out in like the sixth.
Did you see the last hit?
I did.
Were you watching it at Yum Yum's?
Yeah.
All right, so you had to leave early.
I had to Yum Yum's
to a comedy contest, which you won.
Yeah.
In honor of the Royals, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, but it was tough to do. I had to rally.
So this week, we could say the other guest is this week's winner. The funniest person in Fort Collins for the month of October.
Which is just your host. One of your hosts. Yeah. Me.
But you're all of a sudden funnier.
Yeah,
everybody
by winning.
Think,
well, and I think it's
he
really,
seems funnier
it's
this
symbolic
month.
And it's important that it happened in October. Because I'm also,
Mr. October.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mr. October, well, there's the baseball thing, and then
basically
what
you're saying is, I got other shit going on throughout the year, but tell you what,
October,
I'm show up,
I can narrow it down to baseball and killing
comedy
competitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you, Connor Farrell. We're both coming for you. I heard you talking shit on Twitter.
There's the
me.
Holidays, but I'm trying to keep my ass-kicking calendar clear for December as well.
So you got to watch the last hit at Yum Yum's.
I had
and
to watch
I
it.
Watched it here because I stayed back. A few of us
it
stayed
was
here.
Right when we got to right when I got to Yum Yum's.
Right, so
too.
Gordon rips one into right left center. Mm-hmm. Right, first guy misses it. Second guy bobbles it. And we're all just, once the second guy bobbled it, it was such a surreal moment, like, something clicked in your head, like, wait a sec, is this a glitch in the fucking Matrix? What's happening?
Well, it's like meant to be. It's like,
yeah, it's like holy shit, we're gonna
score underdog, here. It's in the underdog sports
They're
movie.
It's like, it started playing Yakety Sax, and the Giants players are just tripping and slipping and
there
dropping
were,
the
there
ball.
Were
like,
angels,
what the fuck
there
is
were
going
angels
on?
Tripping people,
yeah, it's
like, or
like a Disney
the
movie.
Field was enchanted, yeah. And so the grass got a little bit slicker, unlike
it was unreal.
One side.
And I really thought they were sending him. I thought, once he bobbled it, I was like, they're sending
go.
Him. They're
go,
sending
go,
him.
Go.
They weren't even showing the runner. You just had that gut feeling, like, oh, send him. And I'm standing behind the couch, and my coworker Tim was standing next to me, and we both reached out and grabbed each other, and we both go, go, send him, go.
Everybody,
we're just
no,
like, go, come on, go.
All of Yum Yum's erupted.
Oh, really?
And there were these tense Giants fans that were just like, you know, watching their team, like, hand over on the plate. And then there were people rooting for the Royals who were just like, get him there, get him there, get him there, get him there.
Go, go.
But they held the runner.
He did look winded. He did look a little
they
winded.
They held him at third.
I think Buster would have fucked up, though. I think once you get a couple fuck-ups, it takes a miraculous human being in that moment to be like, not today, sugar. Not today.
Not today, sugar. Today is not that day.
I'm tagging you out at home. You know, Buster comes in, snags that shit, probably gets him out. But I just want to see.
Buster Posey is one of the other guys. I mean, the Giants were an amazing team.
Oh, Pablo Sandoval was like one of the greatest.
Buster Posey, Hunter Pence, I just really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Great. Every so moment. Good. A good, crazy baseball player kind of guy. And of course, big ups to Madison Bumgarner, who is...
Well, he's a new, like, personal hero of mine. Like,
yeah.
I've decided I'm going to... use some of what I saw.
Okay, so pop quiz hotshot.
Okay.
You got to name three personal heroes. Who do you go with?
Batman and Don Draper.
Yeah.
And Madison Bumgarner. Yeah, he worked his way in. Because if you put the three of those guys together, that's who I want to be.
What problem would go unsolved?
Exactly.
You'd either have a button for it, you'd care enough... that it was going to get done, and you just have excellent precision.
You know? Well, and it was the last game that we were watching because he would go out to the mound, he would walk out there, he would strike three people out, he would walk back to the dugout and sit there and just stare blankly ahead. And then as soon as it was time to go, he'd get up, take his jacket off, turn around, set the jacket down, get his glove, go up, strike three people out, come back. He was like, dude, what the fuck? Is this Rain Man that we're batting against here?
It's just like
Jesus
a guy Christ. That in the zone. Again, it was incredible to watch a pitcher of that caliber play.
Yeah.
Some of the times, because you look at the sport of baseball, and like a lot of sports, you know, you'll hear old men or this or that complain that the sport has softened. And you no longer get these same legendary figures.
Right.
Part of it you got to chalk up is like, well, they are legends.
Right.
They've died. They've had plenty of time to become legendary.
Well, they probably played against inferior talent, too. I mean, you think of who he's pitching against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm serious. These dudes beat up every fucking team throughout the play. Just,
yeah.
Dude, you can't stop us. We're just hitting fucking bloops over your head.
Bloop.
Home run.
It was bloop.
Home run.
It was that the Royals played with the greatest game of small ball that you'd see in town, and then the Giants, some of the times,
right,
had them figured out. And mostly it came down to Madison
Bumgarner.
They
beat him 10-0 in baseball the game before. That's like 10-0 in baseball. Just punched him in the mouth.
That's significant. That's not a touchdown and a field goal.
That was great. Well, Halloween, we just passed Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Happy Halloween. It's my personal favorite.
Did you dress up at all? Or?
No, but I had some masks in a backpack just in case I needed to.
I feel like you're the kind of guy who always has some masks in a backpack.
If I need them.
He's going to work at the library with some masks in his backpack.
I got this plastic Purge type mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the movie Purge. Mm-hmm. Got this plastic mask with a curly mustache and rosy cheeks and surprised eyebrows, but was otherwise just transparent. And I just wore it out and around with a Hawaiian shirt last Halloween. I've got a green one. And the plastic one.
One of the first nights we hung out.
Yeah. But I wore that all Halloween around just with like a Hawaiian shirt and just walking around. And, you know, you see all these things. And
you can just stare at somebody in a mask.
Your mask is the most genuinely terrifying. They'd be like, what did you go as? And I was like, well, I came as myself.
You look like a bank robber.
And people were like, that is legitimately the most terrifying mask. And I was like, well, yeah, I feel like I'm one of the only people that still gets the point of Halloween. You know, we were sitting at the Rio. We were drinking Margs at the Rio with me just turned with it so it was on the side of my head so that I could easily access. And just getting all sorts of weird looks from people. And I was like, yeah, everybody else here has dressed up to be sexy or cute or funny or this or that. And I decided that on a limited budget of clothing I already own and one trip to the Halloween store, that I'm going to be scary for Halloween this year. What are you? It looks like I've dressed up as myself that's about to knock over a bank or kidnap somebody.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
We just handed out candy. You know, just had a pleasant evening with the kid and a bowl of candy. You know,
Did you just say Ebola candy?
Ebola candy? Yeah, we were handing out
Ebola candy.
We feel like there's some people who need to be thinned out. You know, in the human race.
Thin the herd, purge style.
Absolutely. Well, now is as good a time as any to. We have our first sponsor. Election Day is coming up, and we've scrounged up a few new sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to go to this commercial real quick. Our first GhostBee sponsor, ladies and gentlemen. When asked to play a round of golf with the President of the United States, Senator Mark Udall accepted. But what you might not know is that he lost to Barack Obama. Mark Udall is not a winner. Mark Udall has voted with Barack Obama 99% of the time. You might be thinking to yourself, well, of course a Democrat would vote with his party, but is that really the type of politician Colorado wants
or deserves, Mark Udall is not a leader. Hi, I'm famous Ghost Pee podcast co-host Weston Unruh. You might remember me from critically acclaimed episodes such as Erotica Demonica, They Always Shit Their Pants, That Houston Alexander is a Real Bell Ringer, Blunt to the Dome, or the clusterfuck of episode 6. And I want to tell you about my good friend Corey Gardner. If Obama would invite Corey to play a friendly round of golf to knock down partisan lines, Corey Gardner would tell Barack Obama to eat a bag full of dicks. And not a small bag, either. Just the other day, Corey and myself were hanging outside of Planned Parenthood, yelling at freeloading baby killers, and Corey mentioned to me that I could count on him to vote against the socialist Kenyan at least 99% of the time. Now that's leadership that I can get behind. Friends, let's get out there and get my good friend Corey Gardner into office. This message is absolutely not approved by Corey Gardner.
And we're back. Hope you're a little bit better informed about the goings-ons of important political matters in our beautiful state of sunny Colorado.
Serious time of year.
Serious time of year. I mean, we live in the Sunshine State. About 300 days of sunshine. But
more if, this year, probably.
If you vote wrong, all that sunshine could go away. And you need to think about that. I mean, literally, probably a lot of the sunshine would still stay here, but as a metaphor, there could be less sunshine.
There could be less.
Could be.
So the purge. We were talking about the purge earlier.
My purge mask.
And we've talked about the idea of there being a purge. I saw this movie for the first time this weekend, so it's interesting that you bought a mask.
I bought a mask like a year ago.
And I've worn the mask before and didn't realize
that right. It was representing... Right, did you wear the purge mask and I wore the green mask? We'll find the photo. Yeah, we'll find the photo.
We're going to go
find one of the...
We'll contact our friends at TMZ and dig that photo up.
Hey, guys, what the fuck were we doing? By the by, what the fuck were we doing?
It's an interesting concept, purge.
It is. Well, it's curious because... You look at it, and we've talked about this before, that the social contract is a good thing, certainly, but that all of the time, people are acting out really aggressive ways over small-time shit. A guy, when we were coming home from the Yum Yums thing... A guy was riding my ass aggressively tailgating at like 11:30 p.m. on a Wednesday.
And I was pretty like, gone, and you were still
I was
pretty
sober.
Coherent.
Yeah, I was, well, it's like I had had one before I went there,
and so
and then
you were well
one
aware,
while I was there.
You were well aware that this guy was tailgating you, and I was finally like,
after a while, you were like, and I was like, oh man, he has been. And I was, and we were driving in a 35. And I was at a red light when he came up on me. He didn't have to come to a full stop for the red light. He instantly guns it. I put myself up to about 39. And I was like, okay, I'm like 4 over the speed limit, but no crazy rush to get home.
Right.
We're here. We're soon. It'd be stupid to get pulled over. Once or twice I've seen undercover cops push at you, tailgate you to see if you'll speed up too quick.
I don't think they can do that.
And then,
you told me that. I just don't
it's been done to
a...
me, but mostly on I-25.
Okay.
Late at night.
See the court be like, he was riding my ass. I had to speed.
Well, it's more that in those situations, cops will do that to you to see if you fuck up in any way. And they've got speeding as a basic thing. But at that point, when cops pull that tactic, they're hoping that you're drunk.
Right.
And that you swerve or fishtail or something or panic slightly as they're tailgating you, and it gives them an excuse. So the times that it's happened, it's been later than 11:30 p.m.
So this was either one of those instances or you passed with flying colors.
Or some guy
decided to go on.
Or
because
some guy
turned,
was maybe just
he
being
was
a fucking
right
dick.
On you.
Like I was afraid he was going to hit me, and I turned on like... my turn signal a full block before to be like, buddy, I'm turning. making a right turn, going to slow down a little bit for the right turn. He got even closer. It was like he was like toying with his brake pedal just to see how close can I push up on this guy before he's going to get out of my way.
And I've heard you say, "Jesus, man," like a lot of times.
Right.
I've never heard you say it with such like total like somebody has just wronged you. Like, "Jesus, man, what the fuck?"
A lot
like
of,
this dude had just like spit a lot on of your burger in a restaurant.
A lot of conviction and victimization. Yeah. I was just trying to drive home. I just won a comedy competition. I was trying to feel good about this. And this guy comes up on my ass just gunning it.
You're like a kid that just got pushed into your locker. And you're like, "Jesus, man."
That man in that truck knocked the ice cream cone out of my hand at the pool.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. If you're listening.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you.
It's a good thing for you my channel lock wrench is on the counter at home.
It's a good thing there's no
about
purge.
To put it back in my car.
It's a good thing for this guy. There's no fucking purge. Because we'd go hunting. I'd get a new hatchet.
I've already got the masks.
We've had the masks.
If whatever political candidate announces a purge, don't come for ghost pee. Because ghost pee might come for you.
Oh, it's, ghost pee. Just an accountant and scary Peter Frampton.
Who also works at a library.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You have this new title, because a guy I work with was over, and we were trying to explain your music machines that play a lot of our bumps on our podcast. You do a lot of the music.
Yeah.
And some people have been like, "I don't like that music." I'm like, "Well, that's next music."
Yeah, that's
those are
music.
The noises that I have to live with, you know, just every day.
Your son likes them.
So we were trying to explain it to a roommate and or to a coworker, and he goes, "Oh, like Peter Frampton?" I was like, "Well, kind of like a scary Peter
Frampton."
And I think it's a great nickname.
You know, I've never been compared to Peter Frampton at all in my entire life. But it's one of those things that when it happens, you're just like, okay.
Do you feel like we do? Only a little scarier, a little edgier.
Like, all right, yeah. And I think scarier Peter Frampton, the only one that could compare with that would be if it was like way edgier Peter Frampton, or if it was like psychedelic Peter Frampton. But that would make it sound like I did a lot of psychedelic drugs, and I don't anymore.
Well, of all the Peter Framptons, you're my favorite.
Thank you.
I'll just put that out there.
Thank you.
On the record.
I like me better than I like Peter Frampton as well.
And it wouldn't surprise me if we have a scary Peter Frampton living in this neighborhood, because we're pretty sure there's at least two haunted houses, if not like one arcing
right. It's like, it could be a conglomerate of houses. The weird thing is,
it wouldn't surprise me if there's an underground tunnel from one house to the other. Maybe you should explain what is happening in this neighborhood we noticed tonight.
Ghost pee listeners, in our neighborhood, only a stone's throw away from where we are right now, there exists a block. And on this block, there are two houses. You notice whichever house you're approaching the block first. Obviously, they're both on the corners of the house.
And they stand out. They're
very
noticeable.
They stand out. They have this immense high arch of the roof with a lot of open space.
It's like a loft.
Into
the
door.
The house.
And then it's like, and it's probably like a two-story house still, but it kind of recedes back. And so you only see the ranch side of it that is like, has this magnificent giant roof that just leaves a lot of blank space.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when you drive further down the block,
four or five houses away,
on the other end of the block, there's another house that looks exactly the same, only its gigantic arch is pointing the other way.
Like mirrored.
They're mirrored. They're pointing in opposite directions.
And so you could put them together to make one gigantic
house. Well, you'd have to flip the lots, or like you'd have to lift one out of the ground and move it over to the other side.
Something's
going to
happen here at some point.
There could be a seismic shift. But
they could film Ghostbusters, what is it, 3, 4, what are we on now? Here.
The lady one.
Yeah.
The girls.
Yeah.
Like, with the... And there'd be like an
come over,
front,
strong women comedians. Check in with us. We got the story for you. But so the worst part is that we stopped the car and we went out and we Well, we knocked on the door.
Well, we knocked on both doors. Well, we wanted to see if there was, like, mirrored families.
Well, okay, so we split up. So we split up, and about 10 minutes later, we both reconvened at the center of the block where we'd parked the car and came back, and there were both nuclear family setups with a mother, a father, and two children on the southern house. The eldest child was a daughter, and the youngest child was a son. On the north house, the eldest child was a son, and the youngest child was a daughter. One of the families had a dog, the other family had a cat.
Are you gonna go?
And the worst part is one of the families was up on their luck. And the other family was experiencing hard times. Ghost P listeners, we contest to you. Is it possible that these two homes are interlocked in some sort of cosmic struggle against good and evil? Now, so you went down and talked to the South House. Did the South House family seem evil to you?
They seemed sad.
They seemed sad.
And lonely. Yeah, like they were missing something.
Missing something.
Yeah.
Well, because the North House didn't seem evil either, but they did seem joyous and fulfilled, and as though everything in their life was going according to the plan, as it should. And then we got back in our car and we drove home. Not really sure to make any sense out of whatever fucking Twilight Zone episode we'd entered into.
The next step is to visit...
We have to break into both of their houses, don't we?
We have to visit the other five houses in
between. Oh, that's much less drastic than my plan. Okay, yeah, I like
that. With your hatchet and my blowtorch.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do some damage.
That's much... No, I was thinking that we covered in... We, you know, sneakily break into the house and we see if anyone has any, like... emeralds or amulets or magical statues that the other one doesn't, you know. Just a guess.
That's
just
a great
guess.
Idea, though. I actually am now very curious if there's something magical in one of those houses.
Yeah.
And I can imagine going in and just, like, with Nick and just having the sense, like, we're going to find something magical, and he would find something magical and make me believe it.
I'd take my pendulum. Yeah. I'd bring my pendulum. Your crystal? I hardly break that out for any shit, yeah.
Well, I think we need to cut to a sponsor one more
God,
time
again.
before we get
God,
out of this.
These guys, you know, I mean,
they're
it's
paying
important,
us some money.
It's important that the people are getting informed, but I'm not
going
to lie.
They're putting money in our pocket. They are giving us cash.
Okay, you're
we
right.
We have to do this.
I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to do anything because
they're keeping our
lights
on.
Money.
Yeah.
We were paid money. We need new blinds. So, you know, just please listen and become informed.
This episode brought to you by our sponsor once again tonight, Ghost P listeners. Have a listen. Think globally and consciously. I'm going to cut all that shit out.
No, you got to keep it to where you said, I'm going to cut all that shit out. That's fair.
Hello, friends. It's me, Nick Holland, of Ghost Pee fame. For the past few weeks, I've been receiving phone calls. Creepy, disconcerting phone calls, where all I can hear is the harsh, heavy breathing of someone on the other line. It took me a while to realize, but that someone on the other end of the line is Corey Gardner. He's scary. I've seen him creeping around in my yard some nights. I don't know what he's up to, but I don't trust it. Think about his name, Corey Gardner. You know what gardens are full of? Snakes and bugs and dirt. Do you really want a man that's full of snakes, bugs, and dirt representing Colorado? Not in these trying times. I certainly don't. That's why I trust Mark Udall, because his name reminds me of U-Haul, which is generally very convenient and helpful for when you need to move things. Also, Mark Udall is pro, crazy, raw dog, bareback sex, with no consequences, because doctors will have your back. Cory Gardner isn't that kind of bro for you. Vote Mark Udall, because he asked me not to say these things, but I was compelled to say them, because they're that true. This message was in no way approved by Mark Udall.
With that word, because of all the heat that it was drawing. And so I dropped numerous C-bombs. Thank you for joining us, weathering us through the storm of political...
weather.
And that's storming. Great. That's great, yeah. I actually totally run out of words.
I know,
thank
I was
God.
Just like, well...
You could see it on my face.
Call it weather.
Let's call it what it is. Weather.
It's a season that we can't wait to fucking die.
Isn't the weather crazy in
Colorado
right now?
I can't wait
till
we can
now?
Talk about the weather again.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of these fucks can get into office, the rest can get the fuck out, and we can move on with our lives.
Okay, here's a question. Legitimate, genuine question.
Okay.
What do you think that somebody who's just, like, run for office... like, what's their job or backup plan? What is the
they
contingency
get awesome
plan?
Awesome jobs. I'm serious. All of them. They make way yeah. more money than they would make in office. All of them do.
Because as for they're full disclosure, eye. For full disclosure for the listeners,
the
it's Koch like
brothers
I'm,
will hire all the losers.
I'm currently in a situation Fine. Where I'm applying for a job, but it's through the same people that I have my current job.
You're going to lose to Cory
and
Gardner
because so like,
he's
if
going to apply for your
if
job
I
as soon
don't
as he
get,
loses,
yeah.
you're out, bud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it's like if I don't... well, fortunately, the deadline is November
3rd. He's
already
3rd. Applied.
God damn it.
He's already... he's in there. Very crafty.
Shit. Well, that's depressing. But you see, the advantage is that when I don't get the job that I've just applied for because Cory Gardner has gotten it instead
right.
and... he
you're
does
gonna
a professional
have to run
job with it.
Ghostbe presents
well, I'll have
political
to.
Office.
I'll have to, but I still have my current job. What I'm saying is like, what are these people doing now? You know, are they just lawyers or people hanging out? I mean, what?
No, people give them
to,
money.
Do you have to quit your job?
Like my grandma
to run
gives
for
them
office?
Money. My parents give them money. People give them money. They just here, go run for office.
Okay, I got a tough question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever given a political candidate money?
Probably. Probably Obama.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
The first time he ran?
Dude, I live in Kansas. I was swept up. Hope and change?
No, there was a lot of
Obama fever.
How do you
argue with that?
There was a lot of Obama fever in Fort Collins, and I voted for him.
I'd vote for
but
him.
But I'd never give any of these sharks.
Who are they going to run? Who are they going to run? I voted against Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney. I'm pretty happy with my choices at this
oh,
point.
Oh, no. I mean, I voted for him twice.
Yeah.
But was I ever going to propagate or fund that?
My theory is we don't vote for anybody in our system. We vote against people.
Yeah.
That's my theory. And so I'm not voting necessarily for somebody. I'm voting against. I'm libertarian. I vote in the middle. Okay. You're not. That doesn't count. Vote against
most
somebody.
Of,
use your
most
vote
of
vote
my
somebody.
Most of my local election decisions in this upcoming election are simply voting against possibilities that I'm terrified of, you know, where it's like the status quo isn't ideal. This guy might talk a good talk or this or that, but I'm afraid of what the other guy will do.
Right.
And that really defines my ticket.
Right.
You know, well, Miles was talking about when we had Miles on for our, you know, reveal episode, he was talking about how you could vote.
Episode what? Does anybody know?
I don't fucking know.
Listen to the last episode with Miles, everybody.
But in his interview, he was talking about how it wasn't just a two-party system and how you could vote for a change or this or that. Normally, they've drummed up enough social issues that I have to vote a Democratic ticket. although I don't consider myself well represented by the Democratic ticket, it's just like how much worse it would be
right.
if all the Repubos, you know.
We could do a whole episode on the flyers we've got, the people coming to our house knocking on doors. I've had multiple phone calls. It's crazy. I don't even know how they get some of my information to come find me to tell me to vote. It's crazy.
They know if you've mailed in your ballot.
Yeah, they know whether we have or not. And we get into it a little bit in this episode with our guests. So maybe we should
Josh Gilman, Mike Hammack. Ghost P finally completes its collection
Of the Four Horsemen. In honor of Halloween. It's spooky, kind of.
It is spooky.
It's like recorded before Halloween and after Halloween. Just,
Halloween crazy. Almost lands right in the middle there, folks. Yeah. I mean, Tuesday and Sunday and Halloween was on Friday.
What? The day's made out of 7 weeks. It's fucked. You can't pick a perfect middle anyhow, so we're pretty damn close.
There's no middle.
We're pretty damn close.
So just spoon the rest of this episode in. Little interview. Little hangout. Drink some whiskey. Anything to plug?
Nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug for once. Give it up for nothing to plug. Isn't this
awesome? Oh, it feels so good.
Feels so good. Just back to, you know, doing a podcast. Nothing to plug. Let's plug our podcast. Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Facebook page. Share it, like it. Come on.
That's at Western Unruh. No spaces.
On Twitter.
At Kick Holland. I'm really good at Instagram. I'm on
Facebook,
Twitter too. But
comedy pages.
I'm so good at Instagram. You follow me on Instagram, you'll really like it.
We never plug.
We never plug. We're
being selfish.
We're doing this for us.
We're entertaining each other.
For us. Yeah.
We're entertaining to each other.
And you may or may not be out there.
You're
Enjoy.
Out there. No, you're definitely out there.
If you heard those words, you're out there. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
That's a great question. If somebody records a podcast and nobody hears it, did they record a podcast?
Yeah.
Is that just Royalstown?
Yeah.
Is
that... Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's, yeah. It's at the bottom of the second. 32 minutes. That's
franchise
ridiculous.
Postseason record. Of course, because they don't see very many postseasons.
Yeah.
So.
It's more than they had 30 years ago.
All right. So, like, now that.
Now it's official.
Cheers.
Cheers!
Episode, this could be episode 34, or it could be somewhere else in the 30s. We're recording
we're
another...
We're having a foursome today.
But yeah,
you're going to another
crazy.
One tonight?
No, not tonight.
Hell no.
We're not machines.
Alright.
We only do two podcasts on Saturday nights, and then generally the second one is mostly unusable.
Okay.
But we are... It is a special podcast, whatever fucking number it is, because we are rounding out our collection of... The Horseman.
Yeah. We did it.
I wonder if somewhere Mitch and Eric are, they can just sense that the other half of their whatever team, you call it a comedy team?
I don't know.
I think
squad?
They call it the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
It's kind
or
of just
a herd.
Part of
really.
My bro.
A herd.
Bro.
Oh, a comic herd.
The herd. I like to think that Lindstrom is somehow slightly angrier now, just knowing that we're here. Just somehow the rage has built a little bit.
Well,
he
was.
He can't be here with us to
his
be.
His episode was, yeah. Title was, the quote we got from him was, "I'm wrath and famine's clothing." Because we were trying to pick out
Damn, that is
who
like,
was. It was a hell of a line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's really dark. That's yeah. like Johnny Cash shit.
That's, well, you know, it's Eric Lindstrom. So we've heard from Mitch... And from Eric, sort of how you guys united together, and so
and we don't
we're not
that shit again.
We're not really interested in it unless you can tell unless you can tell a better, more elaborate lie together yeah. of how the Four Horsemen united, as opposed to anything grounded in actual reality.
You know, at that point, I think me and Skillman were just doing so much coke that
mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I just keep up.
I remember I woke up and I had an event in my phone that says you're doing this show with the Four Horsemen. I didn't even know who they were until I showed up.
And
I
actually
one of them
it was
me.
The old wrestling stable. It was like, oh my god, I don't
He's
want
like,
to take on Arn
Anderson.
I don't want to take on Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson and Ric Flair?
Yeah, he was not having it, so he called me all panicked and I was like, dude, it's fine.
You're like,
it's
we
not
got
them.
This. We can take them.
we
and we showed up.
So you guys showed up.
Fake RoboCop can take
fight.
Them, so can we.
So you guys showed up to fight Arn Anderson, Ric Flair.
Right.
Who were you expecting, like, Flying Brian to be there? Because he's dead.
He wants the wrestling, so.
We don't really.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
We don't really. Coke does a lot of things to you, man. We had no idea what we were
doing. Right, okay.
So, showed up ready to fight in our little panties and.
As you do.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah. And it turns out it was just a comedy show, and the fact that we were wearing panties made it much more of a comedy show.
And that you guys had kind of.
Because everybody saw our tiny pee-pees.
Helped to put on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, but what really happened is we just all went, hey, let's just team up and be friends.
Like the super friends.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was nothing special behind it. I mean.
Okay. Now, so here's some relevant news from today. You guys being called the Four Horsemen and everything. Pope Frank, my favorite pope,
yeah,
just said that the Big Bang Theory, that he agreed with it, and that was probably, you know. It was committed by God.
Yeah.
Like, but...
I'm a little upset that the Pope is trailing me when it comes to religion. I'm not a great Christian, but, like, the Pope should be ahead of me, right? Like...
So you think...
I've always... I mean, well, okay, whenever science comes out with some new thing, I don't know, as a Christian, you just get the general impression that, like, what's really written on the page is, you know, it's not we discovered the Big Bang. It's, like, right above that. They don't say it, but, like, there is no God. We discovered the Big Bang.
Right.
You know, it has that kind of tone to it. So Christians freak out, and they're always like, oh my gosh, they're contradicting the Bible.
In some scientific papers, you can, on like certain programs that help you write them, the Microsoft Word template,
yeah.
you can get there is no God as a header. Or God is dead. My personal favorite.
Didn't the paperclip come up and say, it looks like you're trying to disprove the existence of God. Would you like some help with that? No, I mean, if it's, no one, I think in the Christian community really thinks that the 7 days were actually 7 days or anything like that. I just think the Catholic Church just needs to, I don't know, step up their game. I like the new Pope. I like Papa Frank.
Yeah, he's not bad. Not bad. He's changed a lot of things, isn't he?
He's a cool guy Pope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
He's the fun uncle Pope.
Did you guys
hear? Nick always come home from work and be like, hey, did you hear what the Pope said today? I'm like, no.
Oh, man. My boss and I are on, like, a Pope watch kind of thing. Because he's a lapsed Catholic.
He's the same.
And then I was, I'm the child of two lapsed Catholics. And so it's like you get all the negative holdover of Catholicism. And none of the grace or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So you're always keeping your eye on the popery. To see, you know, what it's
so
doing.
Cynical.
And then this guy is like, atheists could probably get into heaven if their hearts are good enough. And then always, like, a day or two later, somebody from the Vatican's like, that's not really what he said. No. And so I just mostly love...
The Pope is acting like Jesus and the Vatican's freaking out like, oh, fuck, no, this is
he's
not
he's changing all the rules! What the hell? We had
this
it all
This is not what
out.
We've been making money all this time for.
I feel like Catholics have just been through a lot. You've had three popes in, like, what,
Edwin
like 10
quit.
Years?
Edwin quit.
One,
like, fuck this
like, we had really cool John Paul that we talked about him for years. He's gonna be, you know, what do you
the
give
Hall of Fame,
probably? Give him the sainthood,
first
Hall of Fame.
That's first ballot. Yeah, that's like, when you become a saint, that's first ballot Hall of Fame.
Catholics are just like these poor abused kids. Like, they start up with like this great dad, but then he dies, and you go to this creepy, weird uncle pope, and then like you know,
he
the Vatican
takes you away from him.
Yeah. He discovered he used to be a Nazi, yeah. And now there's like this new pope who's trying
actually
to be a real cool
the
step
crazy
parent.
Bad uncle pope was such an unfit parent that he actually called himself on it.
Yeah,
he was like, guys, I should not have been trusted with this response.
You guys did not listen well when you were in the conclave and you decided on me.
You see what I look like? Why would you even let this happen?
I'm the bad guy from the first Star Wars movies.
You know what's bullshit is he still gets all the like the papalry, like all the Pope stuff. Like he's just living in some like Swiss villa, hanging out.
You get sworn.
What you're saying is I picked
Pope Benedict.
He even sounds
so
like
he has like one of the worst names.
Yeah.
And he looks like the bad guy.
Well,
I mean,
he's not the first Benedict. Actually, Pope Frank is the first Pope Francis, so that was kind of a special
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, they normally take old Pope's names.
They normally
like
do,
that.
And but the Benedicts, actually all of the Pope Benedicts had a really bad track record.
Yeah.
Too. So
oh, really?
People were kind of like, when he was like, and I shall go by Benedict.
And quit in 6 months.
Yeah.
They were like, what? No, dude.
Anyone consider maybe he was literally just like a temp they hired to wait until he got like, till Francis.
They were just
was
finalizing
available.
Stuff with Francis.
Yeah.
Like,
Francis
like,
was
need...
in final contract negotiations.
Yeah.
They had to have a temp pope.
All right. So, on a scale of 9 to 10, How awesome has this political season been?
Oh, 10.5.
10.5.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is my first cycle in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Are you guys from Colorado?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've lived here pretty much most of my life.
Born and raised. Don't listen to this. Is it always transplant.
Transplant.
Well, you know, I've only been voting, you know, since I was 18. So, like, wow, it's actually, God, that's 10 years. But I never, you know, really paid attention to the local ones until I live in Denver now and everyone's all up about it. But, it's good. I just like, everyone's getting real edgy. People are turning on their own parties.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Rand Paul just coming and just poking people and then running back into the shadows.
Oh, well, I think it's gotten worse, though, in the last cycle, because it's like, growing up in Colorado, I mean, it was mostly a red state with, like, the hippie pocket of Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, everybody else, but we're all red-blooded Americans. I think it's incredible that we could be the first state to 1 year legalize weed and then pass the most restrictive measurements on abortion and birth control.
Man, yeah.
Like, just as a back-to-back
play. Like, gays can get married, you can smoke pot, but abortions are still not comfortable yet.
I just don't think we should be allowing gays to get abortions.
What are they even doing? What are they even doing?
Especially while they're smoking weed.
Well, yeah, everybody got high. Yeah. It's like, guys, you're high and you're married now. Let's think twice before we remove this life that's growing inside of you.
How about if you don't want the baby, you just give it to a gay couple, and they're not allowed to say no?
Yeah. Wow.
I think that's a fair trade.
Married gay couple.
Inflicting babies on gays. That would cause the door.
Well, look, I'm just saying, if this whole election's all about equality, right? And the old, there's one affliction.
I don't know, is it? I don't
unplanned.
I don't think that's ever. I don't.
Well, no, there's. Women's lib is really big right now, and they're talking about, you know, equality and stuff
really
like that.
Really, now? I think it's back in season.
It's back in season. Hillary's probably going to run. I'm just saying, there's one thing. If we want real equality, the one thing that affects straight couples that doesn't affect gays is unplanned pregnancies. I think they should be submitted to the same thing. If you have a baby you don't want, just you leave it on a gay's doorstep. It's theirs now.
Almost like a baby lottery. So that, like, they just, you know.
Yeah, you could be getting some real, just bottom of the barrel baby material. And I don't think gays want that.
Bottom of the baby.
I think we're trying to.
I mean, the key thing you said is unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah,
like unplanned pregnancy.
Unplanned. Yeah,
and that, frankly.
By the way, I think that's what this measure is trying to prevent, is bottom-of-the-barrel baby material. I think that's what...
I'm saying, like, if you're giving them to gays, they could get some real doozies.
Oh, they could.
Oh, but they'll spruce them up. They'll make them look
that
real
is
nice.
True.
They'll
that
make
is
them
true.
They'll polish and turn.
Seriously, look what they've done to bad neighborhoods. Imagine what they could do with bad kids.
There's a gentrification.
They'll gentrify their children.
There's a gentrification. Oh, the homosexual agenda.
The gentrification of your children. Through high fashion.
Shit, babies. Well, yes, he was born with fetal alcohol syndrome, but... But he's developed a real flair for feng shui.
I experienced my first full-page mailing, like political mailing. It was like a full-page cardstock. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, those things are like, dude, dozens. I checked my mail after a week.
Yeah.
Dozens of them.
I can't believe it here. I got forwarded one from Kansas, where I moved from.
Oh, I love the one from Kansas.
The Republican Party, it got forwarded on to my Colorado address.
They're really trying.
It's got like a masked guy with a gun pointed. It's very like scary. And he's like, is this what it's like in Kansas? Like, yeah, pretty much.
Well, it said it had a Facebook post from the Democratic representative that said that more terrorist acts were committed by white men.
And Christians were thrown in there.
White men, and somehow they got Christianity.
Basically, like everything that
and
everybody
extremist
is in
Christians
Kansas.
Or something like that. And then he deleted it, I guess, at some point in the run, but the Republicans caught sight of that. And then said, so do you really want to vote for a man who thinks that if you're white, male, and Christian, you're a terrorist? And it was like,
sure,
yeah, but this
exactly
little guy that you're vilifying, he's also white and male.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and then I was like,
and it also doesn't help that your ballot's got a masked man with a gun on it.
Like, that guy's white.
We're
that
not
guy's
terrorists.
White.
You know, it is getting worse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because now it's like, if you vote for, you know, Republicans, your daughter will be raped. If you vote for the Democrats,
yeah,
they're gonna ban Christianity tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's just
extremely. Well, they have one of the ads on TV that we always, every time it comes on, they'll say something like, his ads are misleading. And I'm like, no, a political ad is misleading? Get out of here, either side. Like,
I want them to up the ante, though. Last week, I saw Mark Udall kick a baby in the head.
We thought about just doing some like fake ads where we're like, last week when I was smoking cigarettes with Mark Udall, we were talking about
lots of cigarettes. A lot of cigarettes.
We were talking about how women should have no choices whatsoever. This ad brought to you by Mark Udall. Vote Mark.
There's one that I don't like. Mark Udall. There was that guy a couple years ago who robbed a pizza place and lined everybody up and executed him.
Uh-huh.
Mark Udall, he did say this. It's been like proven. It's fact-checked. He said, if I don't get elected, I'm going to commute his death sentence.
I think that's Hickenlooper you're thinking of, who commuted. And it's the Chuck E. Cheese Massacre.
The Chuck E. Jesus Christ.
And that happened in 1992.
Get your back straight, Hammock. If you're coming on the ghost,
this is a librarian. I'm a librarian, and he's an accountant.
Well, somebody I'm not voting for, because that's some fucked up shit.
So you want that sentence commuted?
That's like Republicans saying, it's like, if I don't get elected, I am going to abort this baby. Like,
yeah, you better vote for me.
Or my baby's life.
I'll punch him right in the belly. I don't give a shit.
My wife's baby's life is in your hands.
Oh my God.
All right, I got a question for Josh over here.
What's up, man?
You're a big comic book fan.
I do like comic books.
I saw today, I know nothing about them, but you and I think Mitch were geeking out today on Facebook.
Oh, well, all the movies?
About some big Marvel news today.
Yeah.
They're going to have their first female movie.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. It's going
to
be rad.
Do they have somebody to play the...
No, not yet. Not that her. So basically what they did is they just announced like a slate of this is our plan for like the next 5 or 6 years.
Isn't it true like 2019?
Yeah, it's like 2019.
Who's your pick for the female actress? Who would you want to see in a Marvel leading?
I haven't had a chance to really think about it, man, because they just announced all of it today and I was at work.
Because he's got the Black Panther to think about, too.
They're doing... Well, I don't have it for like everything. Basically what I do is I wait for Hollywood to cast and then I go, no.
Right, yeah.
Or, all right, I can see that.
I hear the option, because, well, I found out that, like, yesterday that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be
Doctor Strange. Dude, that's the
and
best.
I wanted it to be Joaquin Phoenix. That was
Doctor
Strange.
Phoenix.
I mean,
I thought
good
Phoenix would have been a better Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Look how serious
and
gets.
No, I'm just like staring off.
Any
face.
Part that lets him cover up that hair lift.
I don't do this, all right? I don't put the hand on the chin like, well, let me...
But it was in your eyes. It was in your eyes.
No, like, what I legitimately do is I'll think, like, maybe who could be good, and then I basically just, like, I don't put too much thought into it. I just wait for Hollywood to blow it or get it right. It's pretty much... And they've been getting it right a lot more often. Like, when I saw the Avengers 2 trailer, and they had James Spader... Like, when I first heard that James Spader was doing the voice of Ultron, I was like, I think it could be pretty cool. And then, like, when I heard it, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is rad. James Spader's gonna kill it. So I feel like at this point, like, I don't even care. I know that they're probably gonna pick the right person. Like, I don't care who it is. They'll pick the right person.
Did he do the green suit too for it? Did he like do the acting, or did they just like have some dude?
I don't know, but I really want to watch. I want to find out
just
so I can see
fat
old James Spader in like a green suit, just like mo-capped out, just like that'll be the best.
He was on like 4. Isn't the same guy who was on like 4 NBC failed shows like in a row? Just like
now he's got one.
Blacklist?
Yeah, he was on. He's on Blacklist. He was.
I think Blacklist
he did,
is still going.
Is it good?
Yeah,
he came into the office, and that was kind of my first introduction.
Yeah,
to
he was
him.
On the
like,
he was on the office. He's in a lot of cool shit, man.
He's one of those guys that made a resurgence. There was like some period
of
time in the early
'90s
and sitcoms,
or something.
Right?
Where sitcoms, but it was like I think Sex, Lies, and Videotape was like a big movie of his, and so he was like super relevant about 20 years ago, and then God knows what happened, and then he just looks like an older, fatter version of himself. He didn't pull a Freaky Mickey Rourke or anything.
Yeah,
where you go from being like super attractive and then you become a professional boxer for a while and your face is really fucked up and you're like, now I can play more interesting roles. Like guys with fucked up faces. And it's like, good on you, Mickey Rourke.
He's aged about as much in like 20 years as Shia LaBeouf has in like the past 2 years.
6 months!
Like seriously,
every
just,
6 months
is just
run,
falling
Jesus.
Apart.
I though, like, when he explained the story of the Cabaret and getting drunk and arrested at the Broadway show of Cabaret, when he explained it, I was like, oh, you know what? Thank God I don't have an endless income and people pay attention to what I do.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think, yeah, I you know, I always look at all these, like, early 20-somethings, and it's like, I think that if I'd had millions of dollars when I was 19 and a bunch of people that said yes to everything, and people cared about anything I tweeted or
drunk
anything,
tweeted.
Like, oh my God, I would have either been lynched in the public eye or just have died of just drunkenness or something.
Mine would have just been, people would have been like, can this guy stop posting Tool lyrics? Like, can he just...
They're like, it's not that important, dude. Yeah, like, and you'd be like, it's important to me.
You're like, fucking, how much Tool decoder ring? You don't know shit.
Speed off in your Ferrari, still just blasting Tool, just, and it's blasting. Like, ah, he's ruining this rich person neighborhood.
That's right.
Most
dude.
Of us had to wait longer to make our money.
Then the headlines would be like, why can't Josh Skillman not be sober?
Just like Lindsay Lohan. Lohan.
Yeah, I would have been like the train wreck.
At least she had the decency to die.
That would have just been like, Jesus Christ.
Rest in peace, Lindsay. Yeah. Alright, we're curious about the New Faces contest. You guys both competed this year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did pretty well.
Yeah. Represented the... And Mitch made it... You and Mitch made it to semifinals, right?
Yeah.
And then you made it to the finals, Mike?
Yep.
That's a pretty good showing for your troop, or whatever you want. I'm just going to just throw names out there and tell you guys.
Ensemble.
Okay.
A herd.
With an accent on the...
Or herd, yeah.
You're still sticking with herd.
I'm sticking with herd.
What about brood?
A brood.
A long fucking contest.
Yeah, it takes a while, dude.
Holy shit.
But it's pretty cool. I liked it. I mean, I had a blast the whole time. Yeah, it was super fun.
I mean, it's all you get to do, you know, minimum two shows, sometimes four shows, sometimes, you know, five or six shows at Comedy Works. What's not to like?
That's really, the best part about it.
Doing, like, real time at Comedy Works, too. So how long were the different rounds?
It's like, first round took until... What, like last month?
Mm-hmm. Second round was only about a month long.
Yeah, because they did like boom, and then it finals was the week
after.
So
how long did you get to do for your set?
The first one was 5 minutes, when you were in the semifinals, it was 6 minutes.
And then finals were seven.
Finals were
seven. Wow, so it's still a pretty tight ship.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to semis and finals, do you pretty much know everybody you're competing against? And is it
not this year? This year were some like strangers. The guy who won, actually, I never heard of him before.
I didn't either. I was
never heard of him.
Yeah,
before.
I'd only seen him at some.
Does a lot of clean works.
He was funny. I mean, he did a great job. But I just literally never laid eyes on the guy.
I wound up being lucky enough that every night that I performed, there was just a ton of people that I knew. Mm. And, like, that was really cool, because it was basically just hanging out with your pals and shooting the shit, and then at the end of the day, getting stage time at Comedy Works, you know, no matter what happens. So, that's gone.
Get out. No, we're watching the Royals game. I don't
ground
know
rule double. Sorry.
Our listeners. We've got the Royals game playing, like, directly in front of us.
Yeah, it's hard to focus. But, yeah, it was a killer time, dude. I had a blast.
Now, when you're doing something like that, do you know pretty much, like, these are the jokes I'm going to tell? Like, your greatest hits?
Yeah, it's always A-list material. Although, we made a deal, I think, for next year, we're going to try to do none of the jokes we did this year.
Mm. Okay.
So we're going to try to write all new material and just get new A. Because I told the last two times I was in Comedy Works contest, I told the exact same set almost. I think I switched out one joke.
Right.
And, I mean, it did fine, but at some point you feel like you're just kind of hacking it at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get to that point where it's your bread and butter, and you're, like, so afraid to step whenever you're doing a show that, like, matters at all, and then even open mics, it's like, well, maybe I'll just do that one and see how it sounds this time.
And, of course, we say this, next year we'll be going exactly back to our jokes, because we'll be panicking.
Yeah, and that's what, like, kind of what would happen is I would be like, I've got this joke that I kind of want to throw in, and then I would panic and be like, No, I can't do that. I have to just stick to...
Are you fucking stupid?
Yeah. and then, like, I did have a panic moment in the second round of the semifinals where I told a joke that just wasn't even close to being ready yet. And I did it, and then went, why did I just do it? Like, on stage, I didn't say it, but, like, in my head, I'm like, you fucking dummy.
Like if somebody was filming you,
they would have
like...
seen, it would have been like The Simpsons when they pause, like, you could see right when Ralph's heart breaks.
Yeah.
You could see the moment that I was like, you fucking dummy, like... It was fun.
So you guys both started doing stand-up up here in Fort Collins?
Yeah, actually. Skillman got me into it. Yeah. I saw him, a friend of a friend, and we went and watched him, and I saw him tell a couple jokes, and I thought, I'm funnier than this. And I got up, and Skillman has been leading the pack ever since. He's been always just a couple steps ahead of the rest of us.
That's very nice of you, Mike Hammond. But I feel like
he the leader of the
I feel like the power has shifted. If there's a leader, it's Eric Lindstrom.
Yeah,
the leader of this group, it's Eric Lindstrom.
Do you guys ever all hate Mitch Jones for how happy and likable he
just
is?
Just all the fucking time.
No, I love him, dude. He's the best.
Well, we love him, too. I mean, is there ever, in the group, is there ever tension about the fact that Mitch Jones
can
is
he
the
just
most
have a bad
lovable?
Day? Can he have one
there hilarious, like...
I don't think that's ever been a topic that's ever been brought up. There's
never well, welcome to Welcome to Ghostface.
I've never had a moment where I'm like, fucking Mitch, always with the happiness and love and you piece of shit. Like, never. Mitch is the most huggable dude in the entire world.
Oh, no, I know.
It's great.
He headlined our show and he hugged both of us at once just because he has that, you know, giant, all-encompassing love for all of humankind.
I felt like I was being hugged by the Pope. It was that warm and
I knew it was better than being hugged by the Pope.
I think one day we're going to discover that Mitch has been Philip Seymour Hoffing all of us and just does a shit ton of heroin, and that's why he's always in a good mood.
But it's like, how are you so... And he's so perky, though.
He's just always up. No, it's not normal. It's not natural. Mitch, if you're listening to this, I know your secret.
No, dude, it's just... He's
that's what we're trying to get, yeah.
He smokes a lot of weed and listens to a lot of Huey Lewis in the news. If you can't be happy and upbeat when that's your day to day,
that's your MO.
Like, then get
that's
out. Your like
MO.
Go somewhere else.
Seriously,
the heart of rock and roll is still beating.
In the heart of Mitch Jones.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, we love Mitch. We are just
on the thing
is
Jonah,
so
but I also
damn lovable.
Fuck you guys for trying to stir up some trouble in the Four Horsemen.
Well, so we got ourselves into a little bit of trouble a while ago when we decided to fake feud with Miles Harmony.
Oh, and man. I was really interested in that whole thing.
We got him involved, too. He came in and we were like, hey, we're thinking like professional wrestling style feud and everything. And we recorded a couple skits of him yelling at us that broke out over
it. Took some very
obviously funny pictures. And then we recorded just a regular interview. And then we were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to release it. But he put something up on Facebook before we even sat down to do the interview. And then we all checked our phones afterwards during a break. And it was like, oh, my God. We just really started such...
Immediately, I was like, this is not a good idea. I don't want to do this.
Was that Miles joking when he was like, I can't believe those guys?
We watched him write it. Yeah. And then we recorded a big friendly interview. And A, Miles was great to feud with. Mm-hmm. But then B, it turns out that everybody in Fort Collins likes Miles way more than it was a good one. If you ever need a litmus test, do a fake feud and just not let people in on it. And
see who they like out of the Four Horsemen the best. Be like, that fucking Eric.
It's gonna be Mitch. It's gonna be Mitch or John.
It's gonna be Mitch. It's gonna be Mitch.
One of
Lindstrom lives up here and nobody knows I fucking live in Denver still. I've been down there for a year and a half. Everyone's like, hey, you still in Fort Collins, right? Yeah. Mitch and Josh are the two lovable ones.
Dude,
in this
I actually
group.
Saw you because we moved to Fort Collins like last fall. Mm-hmm. So about a year ago. This month actually. I was still looking for a job, so I was kind of bored, you know, and I looked up, she saw a flyer at Hody's for an open mic, she's like, hey, you should try comedy out. I was like, yeah, that sounds like kind of a cool thing, I'll go check it out. So I looked up open mics and shows around town, and I ended up finding the East Coast show, and I think all four of you were there, I think you guys did a show there, and I remember seeing, I remember Mitch because he was dancing and singing like, pour some sugar on me to people walking by. And then I remember Mike going because when he got off stage, everybody acted, they were just like, yeah. And I was like, dude, that guy must be a fucking rock star. Look at him.
Because
he's back in Fort Collins. And I asked him, and they're like, he's from Fort Collins. Everybody loves that guy here.
Everybody loves Hammock, dude.
Well, you
everybody.
Had the intro of
look at
Hometown
his
Hero.
Yeah, I got that. Bob Gaudette. Saddled me with that title a while back.
Hometown Hero.
It's because I'll occasionally just come back up and I'll do Hody's because I miss it because it's the best fucking open mic in the world.
Yeah, it's still going so strong. It's crazy.
And I love Papa Gaudette, godfather of comedy in Fort Collins.
He actually
he mysteriously couldn't make it. He was slated to be like the next guest after we started the feud with Miles. And then it was like...
So it's a funny story because I went up to him like the night. I was like, so we all... No, I can't do it. I was like, he's like, I'm busy. I was like, well, any night, like Sunday... Friday night, whatever. He's like,
what other night? And you're like, well, Friday? And he's like, no, not. And we're
so
like,
fake feud.
See, Nick is...
What makes more sense is that this isn't a fake feud at all, and you guys are trying to save your fans and everything like that.
Oh,
like,
no, well, it's a fake feud. Anybody listened, you'd hear the Miles... I mean, you can ask Miles about it now, but...
I was like, very like...
I saw that post. I'm
not going to say anything to anybody.
I mean, Mitch pulled us aside outside of Johnny's one night as we were leaving, and he was like, "Hey guys, what's just like big lovable Mitch?" He was like, "Guys, what's going on?"
So we tried to get two hashtags rolling: release the tapes and bury the tapes. And then we learned the release the tapes hashtag was a.
It was related to that guy that got shot in Walmart by
the cops.
That kind
of took some wind out of our sails.
We were like, "Oh, bad timing."
I do think we should release those tapes. Yeah.
You guys blew it and then decided we'll have Mike and Josh on.
Oh, no. This
now
is,
we'll break
yeah.
apart the Four Horsemen. Don't you just hate it when Mitch is happy?
Hashtag. I don't know what I would do if I saw Mitch
ghost
angry.
Pissing.
That's scary.
I've seen Mitch upset, and it's definitely terrifying.
Wow.
Yeah?
It's just weird because it's quiet.
It's just quiet.
It's just really quiet. It's just a quiet rage.
Oh, it makes me real uncomfortable.
And, like...
You're going to be watching him all night, man.
Seriously, I'm just going to be like, just imagining
the first time
it.
Has Mitch said enough? I can't even remember when I saw him like that. I don't remember what was happening, but I remember seeing it and going, I've never seen this before in my entire life, and I never thought I would. Like, I never thought I'd see the day that Mitch Jones is, like, pissed or upset about something. And he was just like...
I like it though, because I'm fake angry all the time, and then Weston pointed out once that he knows when I'm being serious, because I say less, and there's less like, so...
Well, those eyes get even more dead and intense than they are just
even more dead. Even more dead, which is a lot of dead for a pair of eyes. That's, you know, how much deadness could you put in some eyes? All of it.
A whole bunch.
They milk over.
All right, what do you guys, are you dressing up for Halloween? Do you do the Halloween thing down in Denver?
Oh, it's huge, huge in Denver. I've never been a big costume guy. I went as, maybe what did I do last year? Last year I did...
Baby, what did I do last year?
I don't know, we weren't together.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm just, okay, so one year, a couple years ago, I tried to be clever, and so like one year I went on a black shirt, black jeans, put some like grease and shit on my neck, obviously not the whole face.
Oh, obviously.
But, and then I put like some dead birds and fish on me, and when is the oil spill?
Oh, nice.
And nobody fucking thought it was clever. And then...
They're like, that's poor taste, Mike. Like,
oh, yeah, last year I put on like boxing shorts, and then I stuffed a pillow up my shirt, taped up my hands, put some bruises on, and went to the pillow fight. Nobody fucking got it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I just shouldn't even try.
You're too punny with your costumes,
yeah,
man.
Sure. I feel like nobody even cares or notices.
Stop dressing up as think pieces. Like,
it's a non sequitur.
I'm Banksy of the
Oh, he got caught. Did you see that? He got
did
caught.
Not.
No,
he
it's
not.
Fake.
It wasn't
it's
him.
Fake. That's fake.
Fuck,
that's
I'm editing that out.
You don't want to. All right, you're gonna have to edit the rest of this because I'm gonna keep bringing it up. Every 5 minutes, we'll say something. All right,
so tell me the
like,
story because I haven't heard it.
Like, oh, I just know the
it's just a
fake
internet.
Yeah,
thing.
It was a fake article.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
fake
oh,
internet
really?
Article.
It's a website trying to be the Onion without being clever.
Oh man.
Yeah, there's actually a few of those.
Yeah, wasn't it like
is it the Daily Current?
Yeah,
the
Daily Current. They come up and they're like, all
they
these things are just like
lies. Kanye West shit. And the thing is I couldn't. Like, I honestly, like, I'm pretty good at spotting satire, and I reposted this Kanye article from the Daily Current, because I was like, I could totally see that piece of shit doing this, like, I could...
Oh, that motherfucker.
Yeah, I was like, I know that, and then I posted it, and somebody's like, this isn't real, and I immediately deleted it.
All right, we're about to see now, after this goes live, who has more friends, Josh Gilman or Kanye West? The feud has begun.
I guarantee you Kanye West has more friends than me.
I guarantee you
he
has
more
doesn't.
Enemies, too.
I guarantee you Kanye West
way
does
more
not
enemies
have
than
more
I do.
Friends.
I don't even...
You could probably get a big following just because you hate Kanye.
I don't know. That's so...
Yeah, Kim Kardashian already did that.
Yeah.
Hey.
Your wife doesn't love you, Kanye.
Wow.
Poor
Kanye. Yeah, no problem saying it.
All right, so we have to wrap up here in a few minutes, but I want you guys to talk about your show a little bit. You started a show here in Fort Collins at Surfside.
Yes, sir. Surfside 7.
You got a great lineup on tonight. But so just to plug it. Tell everybody nights and what it's you do. And
last Tuesday of every single month at Surfside starts at 8 p.m. between like 8 and 8:30-ish.
8:15, a hard 8:15.
Hard 8:15. We bring up usually just a bunch of different comics. Sometimes we just have a whole bunch of dudes from Denver, Fort Collins, Boulder, like wherever. And we just kind of hang out and have fun and tell jokes and eat pizza.
That was kind of the best night. When you guys had me on, that was like the funnest show I'd done.
It was a blast. It's a super fun show.
Well, what's great about your guys' show is that there's a lot of shows around Fort Collins, a lot of stuff going on. But you guys bring up people that we wouldn't normally see up here. Like tonight, you have Aaron Urist. I see these guys all over Facebook. So it's so cool to have, like, you know, Brett's been doing that too with his show, but bringing Denver people up and giving, you know, Fort Collins
kind
just like
cycling through. It's like you get a taste of different people. And I don't know, do you guys feel, because it's sort of like having done comedy up here for a while, sometimes it's like it's its own little snow globe, where things were good when there was the Down Under over in Greeley, and so that created the whole like northern Colorado scene, but it's definitely like, you're like, well, oh, somebody like from Boulder, or oh, somebody from Denver.
What a
treat, as opposed to, you know...
It's so interesting, because Boulder, their comedy scene is newer than Fort Collins, yet Boulder comics get, like, grouped in with, like, the Denver comics.
It's just a shorter drive.
Yeah, it's just a closer drive. I like it just because when we started doing it up here, when I joined with you, I mean, meeting Denver comics, guys who've been doing it for, like, 5 years and stuff like that, it was, like, you know, a treat, and you got to see guys who've been doing it for years and years and years. And so we like it because we get to, you know... Fort Collins comics who never can make it down to Denver, they get to do shows with guys, you know, who can and can get around. And I just think it's great, you know. I definitely wouldn't have gotten to know some of the Denver comics if I hadn't started doing, you know, shows up here with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. It's the way you just kind of built it up. But it's like, it feels weird, too, like, because everything's starting to, like, close, it looks like. Like, there are a couple of mics that have closed up here recently, right?
Pateros did. That's the only one.
Oh, man. Is that the only one?
East Coast.
East Coast did, but he opened it right back. The whiskey is great. It was a great room.
Have you been
on it?
No, I was talking to Brett about it. I've heard it's really, really good.
Yeah, dude, it's like definitely set up, low ceilings, dark, has a little stage in a corner, nice whiskey.
It's honestly of all of the places doing showcase shows, it even beats the East Coast just in terms of the fact that, you know, you're always performing like in the showroom window, like you're some comedy mannequin or something. But this is like, it is the place that is the most accommodating to do a comedy show.
That's awesome.
So you're saying it's almost as good as the Surfside 7 last Tuesday.
Just nearly.
Absolutely.
Well, I almost hold a candle.
I like the Sunday night, and I think after football season, because the night I was on it, the Broncos were playing Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And I think he started the show an hour to an hour and a half late, and it filled in afterwards. It was just, you know, like they're advertising this, I think, 8 o'clock show. It was like
the East Coast was notorious for that. You'd show up, and it would be a ghost town, and then literally 30 seconds before the show starts, it's 50, 60 people
got
just crandled. Packed in there.
We're going to
name every single time.
Crandled.
Crandled.
The best.
The Crandleberry.
All right, what else? Where can people find you guys? Do you just run everything through your Four Horsemen website?
Yeah,
or do you guys
pretty much.
Facebook, like Joshua Skillman.
Do you got a personal, do you guys Twitter and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plug your tweets.
I'm the Mike Hammock, at the Mike Hammock.
And I'm at Joshua Skillman.
The other two members of the Four Horsemen.
They don't know what Twitter is.
In our collection.
No, I literally have picked up like 7 followers from doing a podcast. So
that's pretty awesome.
Look for that bump, guys.
I'm hoping to get over that 329 follower bump.
HAMMOCK, like the thing you lay on.
So you guys are all doing sets tonight?
Yeah.
At your Surfside show, you all four do a set, and then you bring three
comics
so
up.
The names
one of
are
us,
hard.
We're doing it now. I think we're one of us hosts, and then we trade out, smooths out everything, and then we got three awesome comics up tonight.
Yeah,
got Kirsten Eckert. We got
Aaron Uris.
Aaron Uris to Anthony Crawford.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should be a killer awesome. Show.
Yeah, man.
Last Tuesday of every
Last
month.
Last Tuesday of every month, guys. Come check it out.
Absolutely.
Northern Fort Collins.
Thanks for
Northern
hanging with Colorado. Us and doing like power podcasting.
Yeah, thanks for serving.
Yeah.
Like,
Now we'll do it again.
Out the whole time, yeah. For sure.
Get,
I'd love to.
Oh
like
well,
that.
We'd love to have.
We need to get all four on and do like some type of game show and really
I would
get this.
Oh, love yeah. Yeah. Let's
and
definitely
then,
do that.
And then we'll finally be able to.
We'll
yeah,
find the cracks.
That'll have to be like a, that'll have to be like a middle of the day because it might take a while.
Oh yeah, we usually do it.
We will get pressed. We will just do it for so long and serve you guys so much alcohol that we will find the rift in the horse.
The horse will break up.
Like, and we'll be
it.
The podcast
we
that
did it.
It.
Everybody
yeah.
hates
Mitch Jones, the one that finally punched somebody.
Ghostbee, you know, we decided we're like, so we're trying in earnest at this thing, but we could just become the best damn heels for the Colorado comedy scene.
You could be.
We realize, having done this
a
for over 30 episodes, we realized that we're both less likable than we thought we were.
No, I always knew.
It's a harsh reality.
It's like, you're, it's like,
he's 25, so he's just kind of,
wow.
People don't like me.
Yeah, but think about how dead these eyes will look by, I'll just be wearing two eye patches.
You're gonna, oh,
did you see this baby picture he posted and how much light and sparkle in his eyes? Like, I get it right.
It's just dying.
It's just dying inside. Amber, I'll just be a husk of a human being. Maybe by episode 50.
No, seriously.
Tune in, folks.
Thanks for squeezing us in.
Thanks for having
us,
guys.
Yeah.
Hey. We're definitely going to try to make it. Hopefully this game wraps up here soon.
Pretty
love
sure.
You guys.
Ain't
dude,
nothing
guys
in the
awesome.
Fourth is probably locked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but it would be like bad luck to walk.
Oh, yeah, I get it, dude.
Away,
I understand
you know?
Baseball.
That's kind of...
So start at like 8:45.
We'll start when we damn well want to.
Okay.
Start when I please.
I saw them stars go off tonight. Ooh, yeah. And they're looking alright.
Roll up, keep up, roll up. Get up, roll up, keep up. Show
me like a tone.
Ooh,
hit me like a tone. Away. I wipe my feelings off. You made me untouchable.